1 through 20. I hope you've been reading the book of the Bible, about Matthew, maybe, and Mark, Luke, and just through there looking and reading about the birth of Christ at this time of the year, the birth of our Savior. But as we approach one of the most celebrated days of the year, around the whole entire world, this is one of the most celebrated days of the year, and it'd be advisable for us to know the significance of the day. What is the real significance? In a time where we no longer really hear about, know, and learn about the true meaning of Christmas, it's important that we as Christians remember the meaning of the day. If secularism has crept into every crevice of our lives, you just can't go anywhere without secularism. It's just in your face, and the world's system is very prominent, and Christians have taken a back seat and have, in a sense, cowed down to the prevalent world's thinking, and we're not as relevant to this world as we once were, but yet we still are very relevant to the world and very needed in the world. So we need to know the importance and the real meaning of this day. We're in a time, and you know this, but anything Christian is cast in an offensive a light. It's very offensive for you to be a Christian, for you to say anything Christian. We're no longer advised to say Merry Christmas, but to say Happy Holidays. And we all fall prey at times to political correctness, and because we don't want to seem callous to the culture or offend anybody, especially our unsaved acquaintances. I'm somewhat, however, offended by the people that wear their Muslim garb into our state, our national Senate and House of Representatives, and refuse to pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America. And I don't know who voted those folks in, but they should never vote them in as Muslim Americans if they weren't true Americans. That's my opinion. It's like noses. Everybody's got one. Some just bigger than others. And so, but we know we're in that time where you just, you know, certain groups can speak their opinion, but if you speak yours, you're a racist. You're offensive to them. You're out of order. You're hateful. You're a hate monger. But yet, some National Basketball League players can stand and say that NFL owners are slave owners. And it's okay. Y'all heard that, didn't you? LeBron James now says that NFL, National Football League owners, are just a bunch of old white men who are racist and working us like slaves. That's why you get so many $1 million a year to play a sport, because you're a slave. It's ridiculous. They could pay me just $1 million for 1 year, and I wouldn't even have to take a hit, and I'd be happy. I sure wouldn't want to take a hit from one of them guys, I tell you that. Well, I'd let them hit me once, get out of the game, and go to the locker room. I mean, you know, make $1 million. Hey, okay. My wife would like it even if I died. You know, hey, I'm rich. We're in a time when you can even, when you go to Walmart, the Black Friday sales turn into heavyweight title fights and a cage fighting championships. And when we're in something like that, we know that we have lost the reason to really celebrate Christmas. People don't know the significance of the day any longer. A Black Friday bargain is more important to them than the meaning of Christmas. I'm telling you, we need to understand what Christmas is really all about. And so, in first place, let me read my text, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Holiday Inn was full. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Christmas is a time to ponder. In verse 19, we see that says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, or she thought about them in her heart. She went back over all these things in her mind, what had happened to her 9 months earlier when the angel of the Lord had came to her and said, Mary, you're highly favored of God and you're going to bear a child. And she said, how could this possibly be, because I've never been with a man? And so she couldn't understand it, but the angel told her what was going to take place and how it was going to transpire, to go ahead and be married to Joseph, whom she was engaged to. And so she did that. I mean, Joseph had to come to a conclusion that this was okay, because in those days, I mean, compared to these days, it certainly wasn't okay. You know? But yet God chose that way, that method. Basically, in your mind, sometimes you might think, an illegitimate child to be the Savior of the world. Something to think about, isn't it? And so she thought about all these things that take place. She thought about how the angel spoke to her. She thought about her engagement to Joseph. She thought about, now here we are, we've got married, and here we are going to have a child. We had a child, and now there's an angel has spoken to shepherds. And I mean, even when I went to Elizabeth and the child in Elizabeth's womb were a lip, I mean, she's thinking about all these things. She's still just a teenager. She's not an adult lady. She's just a teenager. Most of the scholars say she's probably between 17 and 19 years of age. Just a teenager. Have all this thrust upon her. Here she is. She bore the Savior of the world. She had to believe it was true, because there's too many times she'd been told what was going to happen. Now it's happened. And so she's thinking all this. Are you going to stop and ponder the significance of Christmas this year? Or you're just going to be busy? And it's easy to get busy. Some of you probably still have some shopping to do. You maybe didn't have any money to get it done early, or just didn't have the time, or maybe you forgot about someone, so now you got to go back to Walmart or Target or somewhere and fight the crowds again when you thought it was over with. But are you going to slow down and really think about the true significance of Christmas? The true significance, are you going to ponder about this today? I want to talk about it, because verse 11 tells you what it's really about. And I'll probably go there a time or two today, but it says this, For unto you is this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. For you today, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what it's really all about. That's what you really need to ponder. That on this particular day, Santa Claus wasn't born. The reindeer didn't come into existence. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was born. That's the true significance of Christmas. A Savior was born, who is Christ the Lord. That's the Christmas. That's the spirit we should have. That's the reason for Christmas. I'm glad for the Santa Clauses. I'm glad for the gifts. I'm glad over the year. I'm glad for the gifts I've gotten over the years. I don't have hardly any of them. I can't tell you. I don't think it, I maybe could think about something. If I just think about it a little while, I could come up with something I got even last Christmas. But for the most part, I forget about the gifts. I don't know what they are. Most of us are that way. We have to really think about if we can remember what we got. Now, Pam, I know what you're going to get this year from Mikey. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but it's something that you gave him to give somebody else today. Okay. I tried to get it from you. You wouldn't let me have it. But that was our suggestion. Just wrap it up and give it back to her, son. That'll work. The significance of Christmas is that a Savior was born. And that's what we should remember next year, tomorrow, next week, next year, on Tuesday, when we celebrate, whenever our families around us, we start opening gifts, and we're celebrating that particular day. We're glad we have family around us. We're celebrating family. But the real significance of Christmas that you should be pondering is that a Savior was born, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. And He needs to be your Savior. So, Christmas is a time to ponder. Christmas is a time to marvel. In Luke 2:18, we see, and they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them, or they marveled at those things that were told them. They had not heard such a thing before. They were shocked when the shepherds were shocked when an angel came down and began to tell them that there's a Savior being born this very moment in Bethlehem, and you ought to go see Him. Can you imagine being there in the middle of the night? And think about this, shepherds weren't considered very high-class citizens back in those days. But here they are, the greatest event ever to take place in the whole entire world for all time was happening that night, and some of the lowest people you might consider some of the lowest people in the world at that time were the first to be informed about it, other than the parents. They come out there, a whole angelic choir begins to sing. The skies light up. Can you imagine how fearful that must have been? But they said, wow. And look what's happening here. I mean, that in itself, once you got over the fear, would be something to behold. A whole angelic choir and an angel of God speaking to you. But they were astonished at the things that had taken place, the report that they had heard. And they had to hurry and go see. Why, we're in a time, if we're not careful, we do less with God and less with the things of God than we used to. We don't marvel about it anymore. It's just something that's just old school to us. It's just something we do. We go to church. We sing the songs. We'll hear a sermon today. It may or may not be a good sermon, but we went to church. We did our duty. We're there. We paid our money. We got our money's worth, maybe. Come on, you know what it is. If you're not careful, it becomes commonplace to you. You don't marvel at salvation anymore. You don't marvel at the things of God. It's just what we do. It's just what happens. It's no big deal. But it is a big deal. It's something to marvel about. Does the Christmas story awaken something divine in you, thoughts of the divine in you? Or is it just, I've heard it before. I've read it every year for all my life. I was telling my wife the other day, you know that song, what's that song, that show that Jimmy Stewart did back in the 40s, It's a Wonderful Life. I used to watch that every year. I don't even want to watch it this year. And there used to be a show we'd watch it every year, it was a Wizard of Oz. I mean, it wasn't Christmas, but you know what, it was on last night, and I said, you want to watch that? She said, well, I might watch it. She turned over there about 3 minutes, I said, that's enough of that. But if we're not careful, that's what the story of Christ becomes to us. That's what Christmas becomes to us. Well, I've heard it before. I've seen it before. I know all about it. no big deal. And so, but they marveled at it. And so, folks, this story, this Christmas, every Christmas, should awake thoughts of the divine in you and what Christ has done for and in you. Salvation's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so it should be a time to marvel. And then it also be a time to praise. In chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They returned and they just glorified God because, man, look what we saw. Look what happened to us. They praised God for everything that took place. You know what? Guess what? You got saved, didn't you? You've been born again. That's something to praise God about. Not just today. Not just on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday. It's an everyday thing. We ought to be praising God and nothing else, thanking Him because we're saved, because we've found salvation, because we have a Savior, because Jesus died for our sins. I'm glad He came to earth. He had to come to earth so He could die for my sins. But even more significant than Christmas that we're going to celebrate on Tuesday is His death, His burial, His resurrection that we'll celebrate in April, probably. I don't know what year, what time it is this year, but probably in April. And that's more significant than this. But He had to come to earth to die, and it's something to give Him praise for. And they took time to praise Him. I hope you, before this week's out, before even maybe Christmas Day, maybe you get out of bed before you get busy. How many are going to be busy Tuesday? Yeah, we'll be busy, and people will be around, and our house will be full of kids and grandchildren, and it's going to be a great and glorious thing for a couple hours, and then all of a sudden it's going to be, my God, will they ever leave? I'm just kidding. I want you to come and stay as long as you want to stay. But you understand, we get busy, and I'm kidding, Stephanie. That's how I feel. Never mind. I better leave that alone. I'm getting old, getting grumpy. I'm sorry. Cantankerous. But we get busy and we forget. We barely even pray over the meal because at our house, there's so many of us there and people's, they're everywhere in two or three different rooms and there's noise and there's laughter and I mean, there's fighting, there's crying sometimes even. They get mad at each other. The worst part is when Denny and Melissa get hooked up and I have to pull them apart. That's the worst part of the day. And that don't happen either. I'm just making that up as I go. But we get busy. You understand what I mean? We get busy. We get up and it's, okay, the kids will be here. We got to go, or we got to go here. We gather up things. We got to get this done. We got to go here. We got to do this. And we forget to praise God. We forget to thank Him and to celebrate the real reason of the holiday. And that's Jesus Christ. Take time to praise God for this Christmas. He's the one that sent His Son. The Bible says when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. When the time was exactly correct for a Savior, God sent Jesus. Why did He send Him back a little over 2,000 years ago to a nation, a world that was so much chaos? I don't know, but I'm glad He did. I couldn't have picked a better time. I mean, He's God. He knows everything. And so He must have known that was the best time to send Him. We're here today, some close to 50 of us, and probably every one of us would have a different opinion about when would have been the best time. You know? Just like we'd have a different opinion about when would be the best time for Him to come again. But we need to praise God for this. And then verse 17, it says, Christmas is a time to tell. It's a time to tell. Verse 17 said, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They begin to tell everybody, hey, guys, you're not going to believe this. We ought to be telling people about Christmas. We ought to be telling people about what Christ has done for us and in us. We ought to be glad that Christ saved us, that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins, and He saved us to the uttermost. He set us free from the bondage of sin. It's something to celebrate. Christmas is a time to celebrate. It's the birth of a Savior. And that's what it's really all about. So it's a time to tell people about it. We become mum oftentimes. We don't want to tell anybody anything about anything. I'm afraid somebody might confront us about it. And you might get confronted about it. But, you know, the Bible teaches us to tell people of the reason, for the reason of the hope that lies within us. What's my hope? Where's my hope today? It's in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel message. Jesus came. He died for my sins. And that's why He came. So we want to tell it. And they went to tell everything that they had seen and everything that they had heard. And they wondered those things. But they told everybody that would listen. Listen, what's happened? I saw today in Bethlehem a child that was born, and he's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. Well, I know they scoffed at him. They must have. Wouldn't you? They probably scoffed at them just like they did Noah as he's building an ark. I mean, they scoffed at him too and made fun of him, but it rained, didn't it? It rained. It flooded. It did exactly what he said it would do. Christmas also is a time to find Jesus. Verse 16, and they came with haste. The shepherds, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It's a time to find Jesus. It's a time to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a time to come to the cross. If you're here today and you're a minimal Christian or not a Christian at all, it's a time to find Christ as your Savior. It's time. It's high time. It's past time. This is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the appointed time. If you're not a Christian today, today is the time to get saved. To become a born-again Christian. Ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. Repent of them. Turn and come to Him. And so it's a time to find Christ. He is the Savior of the world. They said so in verse 11. Today, born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. Look over at Matthew chapter 1 with me. And it says in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then verse 21 says, in Matthew verse 21 says, and she, speaking of Mary, shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. She's going to bring a son. And that word Christ there, it means the anointed one. Christ, the anointed one, signifying the Messiah, the one that was going to come, the God's anointed one, anointed with the Holy Spirit, the one to bring knowledge, the one to bring truth, the one to sacrifice and cancel guilt, the Messiah, the one that the world had been waiting for, the one that the world needed and the world still needs, was born that day. And that, He was our Messiah, the anointed one. He's the King to rule, guide, and establish righteousness forever. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it said He'd bring forth a son. He would call His name Jesus. In verse 21, it says, and she shall bring Him forth and shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save the people from their sins. And so it's a Greek form of the Hebrew word Yeshua or Joshua. And just like Joshua saved the people and brought them into the promised land, Jesus saves the people and then eventually will take us to the promised land. But right now He gives us life and life more abundantly. When I got saved, I gave up misery. I gave up a lot of stuff, but I gained joy and peace and salvation. And I now know I have an eternal home in heaven. And Jesus went away to prepare a place for me. But it says the Lord is salvation. That's what the word Joshua means. The Lord is salvation. So Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah, our salvation. The Lord is our salvation. And so the future task of Mary's son when he was born was to save the people from their sin. Sin, the greatest enemy of the human race. And Jesus came to save us from our sin. Sin destroys your soul. Sin will destroy your life. And we're all a testament of what God has done. But we're also a testament of what we can of what most of us know what we might have been if we hadn't got saved, and many of us know what we were before we got saved, a testament to the saving power, the grace of God. No telling where you might have been today if you hadn't got saved. Some of you, no doubt, would have been in your graves already and with no hope. I'm going to live forever. And there's a lot of people with that idea. I met a man one time. It's been about 7, 8, 10 years ago. And back when I was a chaplain for a hospice, and I went to visit with him. And don't take this wrong, but you go to his house and you have to take a knife in to cut the smoke to get in. And he's laying on his deathbed and asked his wife for another beer. And you talk, say, "Man, I'd like to talk to you. And I'm a chaplain." "Oh, really?" He said, "I don't want to hear nothing you got to say." "Huh?" I said, "I don't want to hear about Jesus. I've already heard about him. I don't want to hear about him. If you want to come here, you can talk to me about everything else, but don't you talk to me about Jesus." That's a sad state to be in, right on your deathbed, a 70-year-old man dying, and "I don't want to hear about Jesus." So he dies, and I don't get invited to the celebration of his death or, you know, of his home going. I'd hate to think where he was going, what home he was going to, but they had a celebration probably out at the lake or somewhere with a big party. Probably had barbecue and beer. Celebrating his death, celebrating that he went to heaven. Went to another gentleman, lived up around Stroud, and same thing. Go in there, he told him, "Don't even let the chaplain come. I don't want to hear about it. He wants to come to me and talk about cars. He can talk about the weather. He can talk about cows. He can talk about horses. But don't talk to me about Jesus." That's a sad state, isn't it? Jesus died to save us from our sins. And that's what it's all about. He's the anointed one. He's our Messiah. He's the Lord that saves. Sin is our enemy. And here we are. We have an answer. The guy's already apparently sinned his day of grace away. He's already been seared over. His heart's hardened. And he no longer wants to hear about Christ. And they die. No celebration of life. No real funeral. Nothing good to be said at their death except, "Well, here lies Joe. He didn't want to know anything about Christ, but he was a good man. He supported his family well." Isn't that a sad state to be in, to die, and so nobody can say, "Well, this man lived a life of righteousness. He did his best to serve God. I believe he's in a better place." That's what Jesus came for, to save us from our sins. He's our Savior. And I'm glad that my family ought to be glad that I got saved. I probably wouldn't be married today if I hadn't got saved. Or quite possibly I've been on my third or fourth one. Don't know for sure. But I know God did a work through Jesus Christ in my life, and I was changed. And I'm glad for it. I'm glad for it. I'm glad I met the Savior, my Messiah, Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm glad I accepted Him. So the significance of Christmas is Jesus. It's not about the gifts you're going to receive. So I might suggest all of you give your gifts with gifts receipts so the kids and everybody can take them back, get the money, and give it to the church. I didn't hear one amen on that deal. And by the way, I'm not going to take none of mine back and do that either. But it's not about the gifts. It's not even about the family get-togethers or reunions, although they're important. It's about Jesus. It's about the birth of a Savior. A Savior for all mankind. It's about mercy, building a bridge between fallen man and God. That's what Christmas is really all about. To the architect, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he's the master teacher. To the farmer, he's the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he's the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. Who is Jesus to you? Do you know him? Is he your Savior? You must understand this. The Word of God became flesh. The Son of God became man. The Lord of all became servant. The righteous one became sin. The eternal one tasted death. The risen one now lives in men. The seated one is coming again. Jesus. The reason, the significance of Christmas is Jesus. Let me encourage you today to think carefully about who Jesus is. Think about and ponder carefully the significance of Christmas. This is a very serious issue and should not be taken lightly. Don't take my word for it. Read the New Testament. See what the eternal anointed Word of God says concerning Jesus. Then make up your mind, but whatever you do, don't be casual about Jesus. What you believe about the babe of Bethlehem is a life and death matter and with eternal implications. You must be born again to go to heaven. There's no other way to go to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He's the door. You have to go through the door. You can't climb over a fence. I read a thing the other day. We're debating about this wall between us and Mexico. Well, heaven has walls and heaven has gates. You can't climb over the walls to get in. You have to enter through the gate. And you can't get through the gate without a ticket from Jesus. He's the only way you have access to the pearly, to the golden streets. And there's no other way. You can look from the outside and look in, but you can't get in without Jesus. Heaven has strict immigration policies. Very strict. You can't get in without Christ. So take time. Think about him. All that God has to say can be wrapped up in one word, Jesus. Not just any Jesus, but the one Lord Jesus revealed in the New Testament. He alone is the Lord of heaven. He alone can save us. All that God has made you and me is wrapped up in the Son. No matter the difficulties we face or decisions we make, in the end, God leads us back to that one simple word, Jesus. Jesus. In an interview with David Frost, the late Billy Graham said that he hoped the last word he uttered before dying was simply this, Jesus. We can't do any better than that. I don't know what his last words were. We know he died this past year, but I don't know what they were. But no better words to speak before you die but Jesus. Jesus. Let's pray. Father,